Kenny. Ce qu'il fallait.
This is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, TPP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, well, you monkey, you're listening on the SNS Network. Stay tuned or you will feel bang!
Big Daddy Cool, Diesel, / Kevin Nash. You're listening on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA, and you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
This is Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, Mr. Hall of Fame, 2011, and you are listening on SNS Radio Network. See ya, and I wouldn't want to be here.
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
The world is listening.
This is Rob Van Dam.
What's going on? This is Kazarian.
And this is the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
This is Cowboy James Storm. And if you don't like that, sorry about your damn luck.
This is TNA World Heavyweight Champion Bobby Roode.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Welcome to TNA Chat Live. Welcome to TNA Chat Live on the SNS Radio Network. Here's your host, the outlaw of the IWC.
Don't piss me off!
The Trey Dog.
Bound for Glory is behind us. Tonight we had another edition of TNA Impact on Spike TV. Welcome to TNA Chat Live. I am the Bronx Father, Tony Mirabella. And if I cough or sputter, I apologize. I've got allergies in the fall. I have no damn idea why, but I'm basically dying. But the good news is, non-wrestling related, the Yankees got swept. Yes, that's right. They got swept like a hallway in a college dorm after a beer party. So that did, in fact, make the Bronx Father a rather happy camper. Now, as far as Impact is concerned, I must say that probably tonight you will hear the most criticism that I've probably ever given an Impact show. Now, before I get started, was the show terrible? No, not at all. But there are a couple of things that peeve me. Here's the first one. Why is it necessary to give a different belt to a certain person when they win the title? It's the TNA World title. It should be the same title no matter who is carrying it. Now, this shit has been talked about in WWE, but there's a difference. Yes, that was Cena's belt, but that belt has also been passed on for the last, what is it, 7, 8 years? I'm not sure. But, you know, it's been the same variant of the belt. They took away the spinning part, thank God. That helps a little bit. But Jeff Hardy comes out tonight with a new music, which apparently he's singing, and it's not the greatest music in the world. He's got his the old belt that he had when he was in Immortal, but with a different strap. And again, I don't see the reason for that. Now, I understand this guy's your biggest merchandise seller. I understand that, you know, he's a really big deal. And I wasn't upset when he won the title. I'm still not upset that he's the world champ. However, I just don't see the need to have this customized belt. And then when eventually he loses it, they'll go back to the standard TNA world title. I mean, Austin Aries comes out tonight and basically spits on the belt and says, hey, you know, this isn't the belt you beat me for. You know, this isn't my belt. And Aries still acting very CM Punk-ish tonight. Now, before I open the phone lines, I want to address something else that really got to me. When Hulk Hogan was in the back, and he was talking with Joey Ryan and Matt Morgan, and he basically tells Matt Morgan, look, I'm the biggest Matt Morgan guy there is, but in every booking meeting, yes, Hulk said this, in every booking meeting that we've been in, I put you over and got shot down, and I'm not going to quote him verbatim, but I'm not a fan of bringing up stuff like that on the air. You know, booking meetings, stuff like that, creative meetings, that's something that the fans don't need to hear about. That's just the backstage, the truly meat and potatoes of the business that should be kept, you know, off air. I didn't quite agree with that. Aces and Eights, of course, they're allowed in the building now. I got to admit, I do like their theme music. I do. I like that it's kind of like an old school Western movie rock kind of thing. I like their music. Tonight, D-Von basically admits, I'm not the guy. And I want to thank the big man, meaning Aces and Eights leader, who we saw before D-Von came out. I'd like to thank him, all you people in the Impact Zone. You guys are nothing, you know, you've been against me from the beginning, you never were behind me, and now D-Von is kind of like a general or kind of a sergeant in Aces and Eights. So they did a good job there of making it clear that the leader is still the leader, and it ain't D-Von. But with that being said, I want to know what you guys think, and as of right now, please call in because the phone lines are open.
Call now to talk TNA Live. The number to call, 501-588-7957. That's 501-588-7957. TNA Chat Live.
And we had AJ Styles versus Christopher Daniels versus Kurt Angle. And whoever wins this match gets to be considered for a title shot next week at the discretion of Hulk Hogan. James Storm is already in there. He's got a title shot. You know, that's another problem I had tonight. I don't think you should win a match and the reward that you get is a consideration next week. Next week, they're going to have Jeff Hardy on Impact defend his TNA world title against whoever of the group that Hogan picks. And it's like, I don't know. I just, to me, you know, title contenders should earn their spot by winning a match. And that's it. You win the match, you get a title shot. Robert Roode comes out tonight and says that, you know, I have a rematch clause and I can, Robert Roode, pardon me. I don't know if Brass Eye has the buzzer ready. But if he does, that's a buzzer. Austin Aries comes out and basically says, you know, I have a rematch clause. I can come out whenever I want and exercise it. And he tells Jeff Hardy really accentuates, you've got your own belt. You've already got the entire damn Impact Zone. You've already got all these sheep behind you, and now you've got your own belt too. So, you know, that was a way that, you know, Aries, he's full-fledged heel. If you didn't get it last week, if you didn't get it at Bound for Glory this Sunday, he is a full-fledged heel at this point. And at the end of the night, we have D-Von versus Sting. During the match, aces and eights attack. So it ends in a disqualification. And the TNA guys come out along with Bully Ray as well. They try to clear aces and eights out. And, you know, like I said, I just feel that my feeling for the aces and eights is that I don't know. I don't know where they go from here. Somewhere along the line, what I'm going to see happen is we're going to have another match at a pay-per-view where the stipulation is going to be that if the TNA guys win, the Aces and Eights leader has to reveal himself. If the Aces and Eights guys win, well, they obviously get something. They get some reward. And I did like when Hogan said tonight, you know what? Yeah, you guys won. Yeah, you guys have a right to come out here now. But you know what? If you're going to come out here, be prepared to fight every damn week. And that was good. I enjoyed that part of it. I enjoyed that aspect of it where at first we see aces and eights come out and think that they're, you know, invincible, but the entire goddamn TNA locker room basically empties and starts kicking all their asses. And then, of course, Hogan tells D-Von, well, you're going to have to fight Sting tonight. You guys want to be here? That's how it goes. Tara, wow. Tara with this sickening Jesse guy from Big Brother just kissing. And this guy just, he's one of these guys who when he talks, I want to punch him in the fucking face. I mean, literally, I just want to jump on him and beat the shit out of him. And I guess that's his job. But surprisingly, ODB wins in a non-title match against Tara tonight. So it was funny because if you didn't see it, ODB is on the damn telephone during the match. Apparently, talking to EY. And she was pissed. And even though she was completely distracted during the match, she got the win. So, you know, that was interesting. And I want to see, you know, if now she will get a title shot. I mean, she beat the champ. It was non-title, but she beat her. ODB has a legitimate, you know, claim to a title match. But, you know, we saw Joseph Parks again tonight. He says he wants parts of aces and eights. And Bully says, take Sting out of this match and put me in. So Bully Ray still very, very, very passionate about wanting to get to aces and eights. And this thing with D-Von, I can see at some point, hopefully at the next pay-per-view, the two of them one-on-one, meaning Bully Ray and D-Von, that's got to come to a head. So, you know, a lot of things coming out tonight, but, you know, getting back to Jeff Hardy, I mean, here's a guy whose contract is up in February, and he's got his custom belt, his custom theme song, and I don't know, it's just, I don't understand why you just can't keep it with him as the champion without all this extra fluff you add on to it, his own belt, new music. To me, it's overkill. It's overkill with this guy. I mean, yeah, he's your number one, you know, selling merchandise guy, and that's awesome. But at the end of the day, I don't want him differentiated so much, you know, than just being the champ. He's already different enough. He comes out with his face painted. He comes out wearing wild outfits. Now he's got his own belt. Again, And you know what? I don't know how long he's going to hold that belt, but if he doesn't reach some agreement with TNA by the end of December, the beginning of January, they can't wait till the last minute. Don't wait a week before this guy's ready to leave and then try to get the belt off him. I mean, that's just, I don't know, just a huge mistake it would be. But AJ Styles and Kurt Angle continue to be on completely different pages. I think that tag team is probably gone for good. AJ says to Kurt, no hard feelings, but I want to be world champ and I'll face you out there tonight. And Kurt is like, yeah, you will. And then in that match, of course, he and Kurt end up really going at it after the match yet again. So there you have it. That tag team is pretty much gone. But with that being said, we do have a caller on the line. Welcome to TNA Chat Live. Who's this?
It's the boss. What's going on, dude?
What's up, JJ?
Not much, man. Just listening to the show tonight. I'm surprised nobody's called in yet. I watched TNA Impact tonight. I don't know why, but I did. It wasn't a horrible show, but I agree with what you said. For the show that happens after Bound for Glory, this should be a big show for them. And it was just like another show. It was like, eh, okay. Jeff Hardy won. Okay.
Well,
Nates are allowed in the building. Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with, you know, what you're saying. It just, it didn't feel like something special after a pay-per-view. I don't know. You know, it just seemed like, and a lot, in fact, not only was it not special, but a lot of the things that they did kind of annoyed me tonight. Like I said, what's your opinion on Hulk Hogan, you know, coming out with that line in a book? Meeting, they said you weren't a guy to push. That's basically what he said. You don't give that shit out on TV.
This company does, Bronx. It's how they operate. I mean, look, you know, look, again, back in the day, Hogan was a hell of a politicker. He was a great front man for the WWE. He was the charisma that made Hulkamania what it was. But without Vince McMahon behind him to hype the Hulkamania machine, there would have been no Hulkamania. And I think that he really thinks that no matter what he does, he's making the right decisions. And the shit that they pulled tonight with certain regards to that was just crap. I really got to say that I did enjoy Bound for Glory, with the exception of the two bumps in the road, the Tara boyfriend reveal and the whole Aces and Eights Devon thing. Thought the rest of the show was pretty good. But I got to be real honest. I wasn't real big on Jeff Hardy getting this world title. And now that I see what we're dealing with Jeff Hardy, I think that I might be vindicated in that statement. I don't think he's the guy that needs to have that belt. I don't think they needed to bring back his immortal title and put it on him. You know, I know there's a lot of comparisons being made to John Cena. You know, Steve Austin was a guy that had his own belt in the Smoking Skull belt. But even that had WWE logos on it. And that was only a Steve Austin belt. I just, you know, and I know that's probably what they're trying to shoot for with this Jeff Hardy thing, but I got to agree with Austin Aries. You know, like, that's not the belt that you beat me for. You know, it's got your face all over it. And I think it's a bit much. I think they made a mistake. I really do.
No, I agree. I agree. And I'd love to know, you know, is that something that Jeff, you know, suggested bringing back that belt and the new music, or is that something that the company decided to do? I mean, either way, it's like I said, to me, it's, you know, it's almost like you're putting this guy above the title, if that makes sense. You're putting him to the point where, okay, I won this belt and it's not good enough for me. I need to have my own. That takes away from the title, and that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to try to make that title as important as you can, so when the next guy beats you for it, it means something.
Well, yeah, and that's a very good point, but I think in Jeff Hardy's case, they're just really trying to imply that Jeff is an artist, that Jeff is an individual that's different from everybody else. He's a musician, he's an artist, he's his own man. He's, you know, breaking the rules of conformity, but in a lot of ways, I just think that it fails.
Yeah, no. I mean, I agree. And I think, well, it probably doesn't fail as much as I don't think that the, you know, the fans necessarily look down on it as much as we do. But if you really look at the psychology behind it, but behind giving a guy a different title belt, I just, you know, Austin had that smoking skull belt for not very long, and they worked it into an angle with Vince McMahon. And, you know, that gave it some relevance. But now, you know, this title is just, I don't like the look of it. I just think you have one TNA world title, and that should be it.
Well, you know, and hopefully he won't be champion for very long. Like, you know, if he hasn't signed a contract extension by the time December rolls around, I'd be taking that belt off of him. I think it's extremely dangerous. I personally would have never put the belt on him until he re-signed a contract. That's just me. I do things differently. I've told people before, if I was running a wrestling company, I'd be the biggest asshole in the world, because if you show up late, you're not on the fucking card. You know, if you can't come to work, you're not in my fucking company.
Yeah, well, you have an old school mentality. And, you know, this thing with Tara, too, and this guy, I mean, I know he's supposed to be annoying. Now, I did hear this week or read somewhere, I can't remember, that he does, I believe he does actually have some wrestling background to him. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he actually tried to sign up with them last year, year before last, and started doing something with them, but... Either way, it was like a fart in church, you know, on Sunday when they had the big reveal. It was like, who's this guy, you know?
Well, I think we mentioned this, you know, that they thought it would get him, you know, a big rub on TMZ, where, you know, later on in the broadcast, when I'm done, I'm going to go over some stuff from TMZ about the Hogan sex tape, some new things that have come to light. I mean, that's where you're getting most of your publicity, and that's a problem, because... You should be getting, you know, wrestling publicity. Now, not necessarily in TMZ, because TMZ only gives a fuck about wrestling when there's a scandal involved. But you should be trying to get, you know, the company's name out there and you know, bringing in this guy. I don't think it had the effect that they thought it was going to have. No way.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, man. I just want to chime in and say you're doing a good job. And hopefully people will call in and give their thoughts on it. I'm looking at the chat room and a lot of people are saying that tonight's show was flat, and it wasn't what they were expecting from TNA. Again, anytime you, and I'm not comparing the two, but anytime you watch a WWE after a WrestleMania, they've got new angles starting, they've got new things going on, it's always a big feel show. Tonight just felt like it was, okay, well, we got to do a show, let's go out there and do it. And, you know, you're going to like what I'm saying or don't like what I'm saying. I don't care either way. I'm giving my opinion on the product. And if this is the way it's going to go, I think they got some problems.
Well, the last few weeks, they've been known to have a shitty show and then a real, real good one. And then maybe one that isn't that great again. And, you know, they're suffering in the ratings as well. So thanks a lot for calling in, JJ. I appreciate it, bro.
You take it easy, bud.
Have a good night, man. And now, let me give a proper introduction to the man who has flown all around the world following TNA, the man who has literally rivaled Colin Vassallo for jet setting. I think the two of them are in a fight, ladies and gentlemen, to see who can bring up the frequent flyer miles. Chris Kelly, headlocks2headlines.com. What's up, bro?
Well, man, I'm just about out in my hotel suite, and I just ran into a former WWE superstar downstairs. And you won't guess who I just met downstairs. Have a guess. Former WWE world champion.
World champion. Oh. Can't be Jomo. Was Jomo a world champion?
Nope. No.
Who?
Dave fucking Batista.
Wow, really?
Yeah, he's downstairs. I was like, holy fuck. But yeah, so I literally walk in and I see Chavo. I say, oh my God, Chavo, turn around. Fuck me, my man. Batista's stacked. Batista's absolutely stacked. But yeah, man, that's one cool thing I can talk about. But yeah, I literally just got back from the Impact Zone, and man, tonight's crowd was fucking amazing. I mean, I'm not quite sure how it came across on TV, but the show today was amazing. Like, I can't pick up any faults unless there's something that I didn't see on TV. I mean, for you, how was Impact?
Well, the faults weren't so much visual or, you know, just the faults were, and I was just talking to JJ, you know, My problem is, you know, Jeff Hardy coming out with that fucking belt again, that horrific music. I don't understand why you need to differentiate this guy so much by giving him his own title.
But by the same token of that, right, we link John Cena's belt, the WWE title, to him as his belt, right? And I think what they're doing is smart. By giving Jeff Hardy his belt back, when he's world champion, he has his own belt. It gives his own prestige. And like I say, everyone complains about the WWE title being a John Cena belt. At least now they have a Jeff Hardy belt.
Yeah, but the difference is that belt has been in circulation for 7 years. No matter who wins the title, that belt is the same. The same thing with TNA. No matter who wins the title, the belt has been the same. But Jeff Hardy's the only guy in the company. Look, if that was the TNA world title for the last 7 years, God forbid, I'd be like, okay. But the fact that he has to bring, and Austin Aries alluded to it, you got the whole damn Impact Zone on your side. You need your own title too. I just think that it would have been better. Just, I don't believe in this customized title for him. He should have the same belt everyone else been carrying.
Like I say, it's personal opinion, but I think it's good to give Jeff Hardy his own belt because it gives him his own link to a belt. That's just me. I mean, how hot did the crowd appear to you guys? Because it was, man, that in there, it was jumping.
Well, no, the crowd seemed fine. You know, something else I wanted to get your opinion on. I don't know why that this is just a pet peeve with me, but this has been bothering me. Did you see the backstage segment? Were you able to see that between Hogan and Matt Morgan?
Yes. Yeah. It was like, yeah.
What was your opinion on Hogan, like, blatantly coming out and saying, well, brother, you know, in booking meetings, I kept putting you over and they kept shooting me down. See, I just don't agree with bringing shit like that up on television.
But by what I'm saying, like, I see what you mean. But by doing that, it shows Matt Morgan that he had people on his side. And no matter that, because it ran out, Hogan was on his side. So Hogan was like, man, don't do this while I'm in charge. It wasn't me that got you released. I wanted to say you're under contract. But the power above me, B Panda Energy, got rid of you. So I get that. Come on. I do get that.
Well, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I just don't. I think you could have went about that a different way. You could have did it without mentioning booking and stuff like that and the powers that be. That was, I mean, it's probably just me. It probably didn't bother anyone else but me. So I'm not really going to, you know, sit here and harp on it for too long. But that was one thing. The other thing is, we were talking about this too. Tara's boyfriend is just, he's so fucking annoying.
I agree.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm interested. Now, you have to look at it this way. And here's what I thought. ODB got a legit win on the champ. I think that should fire her right up into number one contendership.
Yeah, it should do, because she, man, she's over like rover with the crowd. Like, you heard the pop she got when she came out. But I'm starting to think that if they do this thing where Tara starts cutting her matches, they can shit can this idea straight away. And I do see the pros and cons of doing that, because the pros is we have no idea who he is. This guy is a nobody. The cons are it will give the internet community some more ammo to say, oh yeah, TNA has got poor booking, etc., etc.
Well, the one thing that I did enjoy during that match was how ODB was just on the phone during the fucking match. I thought that was funny. That I actually liked. That got over with me, that she was just so pissed at apparently EY that's something else. It's almost like the match was secondary to her and she still won. She gave more shit about her phone than she did the match. So you have to now put her right in that women's title picture.
Oh, I mean, I would have had a giant I want EY sign, but I'm not sure if you guys saw this. The first segment when they all came out, James Storm threw a beer to the plants. The plants are back. The plants dropped the beer on the floor where my signs were.
So
that sign, that killed the sign of I Want EY and SNS Network. And then my cruddy sign got destroyed by Kid Cash. So by about an hour into the show, I had no signs left. F, because they've been destroyed by the plants and Kid Cash.
Did he rip the sign, the Crowley sign?
Yeah.
Now let me ask you: haven't you had that sign for like a? Have you? I don't know if you've been using the same one, but I know since I've known you, you've mentioned about your Crowley sign. Is that like the original?
That's my Orlando one. Yeah, the one that I've been to Orlando. Yeah. Yeah, and I literally, because I was there talking to the girl, the plant, and I was like, what the fuck? And then I noticed that he had my sign in his hand. He goes, I was like, great. So I had no sign, but I did gain a Kurt Angle worn t-shirt. When he threw it out, I grabbed it.
Wow. Did you get a chance to try to hook up with him, maybe get him to sign it for you?
I'm going to do that probably in a minute, man, because I'm heading to the bar and me and Supermax are going to take a few shots.
Wow. Well, you know one thing you have on your side right now. Now you can go on all kinds of talk shows and cry like a little bitch and talk about how you were traumatized by having your sign ripped up. And
she cashed out my sign. I'm never going to be the same again.
I mean, shit. Alberto Del Rio, he's secondary now. I mean, you rip up Crowley's sign? Are you fucking kidding me?
I know, man. Like, I know. I'm hurt. I'm going to have to go to therapy. I'm going to have to complain to TMZ. I'm going to go personally write a letter to Dixie Carter calling her a bully. You know, you can't be a heel anymore. It's a bully. But yeah, man. Like, literally, I was like, what the? But yeah, so rest in peace, my sign. 2008 to right now. It's now officially dead, swept under the map in Orlando.
Well, I mean, you know, you have to remember that back in the day, yeah, Wrestling News Live did get him fired. It's revenge, bro.
Bastard. But anyway, man, I'm going to go, and I'm going to get drunk with Supermex. So I might, I don't know, later on I might record a drunken running the ropes with myself and air it on something like on Headlocks. Who knows? But right now, I've got about $300 on me that I have to spend by tomorrow. So I'm going to hit the bar.
Get rid of them squid, man. Get rid of them.
Dollars, man. Dollars. I've got $300 on me, not quid. Fuck's sake. Anyway, mate.
All right. Yeah, man. Thanks. All right. And as Crowley drops off to go get drunk and possibly beat up and assaulted and robbed, we're going to take our commercial break. This is TNA Chat Live on the SNS Radio Network.
We'll be back with more TNA Chat Live with the Trey Dog on the SNS Radio Network. One more shot.
Let's go to our ring announcer.
Wrestling fans, your ring announcer here, Sean Beckerman, and I'm proud to present to you the Pro Wrestling Nostalgia Podcast that's taking the IWC by storm beyond the bell. On each edition, we cover a different theme, taking you back in time to relive the greatest and worst in professional wrestling. We go behind the mic, where you will get backstage stories from the perspective of a pro wrestling ring announcer on the independent circuit. Find out what it was like to announce some of the greatest stars in pro wrestling history and the funny stories behind the scenes. And we wrap it all up with old school wrestling music. So tune in to Beyond the Bell each and every week on the SNS Radio Network, and I'll see you at the matches. It's go time!
What's up, guys and gals? This is Sensational Sequel, Sensational Sean, right here with you. You can catch myself and Ashley, yes, that is his name, on The Open Book every Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. You'll catch us doing video games, The Open Book, Fantasy eFed, and movie and entertainment news. So check us out every Friday at 11 p.m. Eastern Time at snsradionetwork.com. Come check us out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Wrestling News Live is proud to bring to you a day in the life of Ric Flair. Woo!
today, right here, you gotta beat Ric Flair.
Rick, are you wearing that robe again in here?
Woo!
I told you, no one wears it in here but me.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
Rick, the dishes aren't done. Get the dishes done, Rick.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, right here. I'm the man.
Or I'll show you who's the man.
I'll kiss your boots if you can do it. Woo!
That's it, pretty boy. It's on now.
Woo. Woo. Woo.
We got a 22 deuce. That's a domestic disturbance over at 707 Cordalla Street.
This has been a day in the life of Ric Flair, brought to you by Wrestling News Live.
Hey, wrestling fans. Do you want a break from the day-to-day ins and outs of the WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor? Do you like talk radio that pulls no punches? And do you like your sci-fi and fantasy? Well, tune in to the Elite Force Podcast each and every midweek with Chuck W. and each weekend with William Walkie Walker and Mindwipe. Exclusively on the SNS Radio Network and the Chris Jones Gaming Network. Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
Welcome back to TNA Chat Live with the Trey Dog on the SNS Radio Network.
Yeah, back here once again, TNA Chat Live on the SNS Radio Network. I am the Bronx Father, and I'm not alone. A familiar voice, a familiar face. Terrence, what's going on, my man?
Hey, what's up, brother? How you doing tonight, man?
All right, man. I'm doing okay. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Yeah, I've listened to the show from the beginning, man. And I got to say, you're pretty much right on point with everything, man. You know, after a pay-per-view, you're supposed to come out with your next show, you know, guns a-blazing. And tonight, man, they pulled out a water gun, man. You know, I wouldn't even empty my pockets for that, man. I mean, they didn't dive into nothing new. They sort of just reversed back to the same stuff we saw pretty much at Bound for Glory. So they didn't come out with no conclusion to anything because we picked right back up with Rude and Storm again. You know, don't have a problem with Hardy and Aries, but, you know, seem like we're going to go back with Tara and Test Marker next week. And so they didn't come out with nothing new. And I'm sorry, man. I mean, I know everybody loves Sting. I got no problem with Sting, but I just don't agree, you know, having two guys is not great work as far as in a main event. And like I said, I don't have a problem with Sting, but when you put D-Von and Sting in there as your main event, man, you got to think your ratings are not going to be good. It was a terrible match. It was flat. The brawl at the end was bad. I mean, they didn't deliver that knockout blow to say, man, I spent my $39, which I did on Battle for Glory, and I was expecting something big tonight, and I just got, you know, completely robbed tonight, man. It was just a flat show.
Well, see, and I respect that because I really do respect that because I know you're a TNA guy. And a lot of times we TNA guys, you know, people say, oh, you guys will defend the product even when it's bad. No, you know, you're like me, man. Look, if there's something I don't like, I'm going to tell you. I will say D-Von's promo was decent. People in chat were saying it was more of the ECW D-Von. His promo was pretty good. The one thing they did do was that they proved tonight beyond a shadow of a doubt that the leader of Aces and Eights is still anonymous, which I think needed to happen. But it's getting to the point where you can't have every week the same shit. You know, Aces and Eights comes out, the TNA locker room empties out, and we got to go a little bit further. And I think it's going to go to a match where one of the steps is going to be the leader has to reveal himself if Aces and Eights loses.
Yeah, I feel you, Bronx, but you got to look at, you know, how TNA promotes their pay-per-views and what they do. You know, Bound for Glory is a road pay-per-view, so if you wanted to conclude everything to the point where everybody's getting that real shock value, it should have been done Sunday, where the next road pay-per-view, I believe, is Lockdown. So we're talking like another 6-7 months away. So why would you sell that at Orlando when you had a nice crowd in Phoenix where you could have sold that? So I don't know why they backpedaled. And, you know, like I told you last week, I really don't think it's Bully Ray, because they're giving it to us too quick for us to, you know, to swerve us. So I think they, you know, that's why they went with the D-Von move. But I think they got to pay something off, like you're saying. It's been going on too long. We still got these guys in masses. We don't know their names. We don't know who they are. I mean, they got to start going after titles. They got to give us something, because they're bleeding too much out of this turn-up, man, and we're not getting nothing. So I think it's liable to backfire in their face. And as you've known for years, because you've been watching TNA as well, they don't deliver when it's time to conclude a storyline or for a big reveal. It's always a letdown. And if you look at TNA history, every time they have done stuff like that, or this guy's going to be at the pay-per-view, or this is going to happen, or watch Impact tonight, and it's like, oh, okay, that's what it was. And that's what Sunday sort of was with D-Von, and tonight definitely was by them not continuing from that.
Well, I mean, you know, another thing, and again, I don't want them, you know, sometimes people say you shouldn't compare the two companies, but here's the deal. I have to, because they're the only two companies. Ring of Honor ain't, look, you're always going to compare when you have two of anything that covers the same thing, meaning wrestling in this case. You have to make a comparison. Now, WrestleMania, the biggest pay-per-view in WWE, unofficially, and by that I mean as far as we fans aren't supposed to know this, it's the end of the booking year. WrestleMania ends the booking year, which means usually the week or two after that, JJ mentioned this, you start from a clean slate. And I think that, you know, Bound for Glory, they would have done well to make, I'm not saying Aces and Eights disappears, but you should have done something a little more, no pun intended, impactful tonight to say, all right, Bound for Glory's behind us. We're going to give you some new shit. And they didn't deliver too much on that tonight. What do you think? I need your opinion, man. What do you think about this controversy that we've been having about Jeff Hardy getting his own belt?
Oh, man. You know what? With the Jeff Hardy thing, man, and you know, I've been to a couple of shows with Hardy, man. I mean, his merch moves. The kids love him. So this is more of a merchandise deal, I think, where they probably will, you know, produce that belt and sell it. I really don't have a problem with it, because as you saw, Uri's turned it into an issue by bringing it up. Instead of him not noticing it, he brought it up. So that may play into their, you know, their storyline or their matches down the road. You know, hell, maybe Aries, you know, steal the belt and destroy it. You never know. But I personally don't have a problem with it. I mean, it's been done for years with the Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and various other guys who had variations with different colored belts. So I really don't have a problem with it. And I think TNA is trying to, you know, let everybody know that this is their guy. And, you know, but I do agree with the point that you said. If he's going to have that belt, then when he loses it, it should still be around. It shouldn't just disappear.
Well, you know what would be interesting for them to do, and I just thought of this. We saw Austin Aries spit on the belt tonight, and that really, oh, man, you're in my neighborhood, man.
Yeah, man, I'm in the hood in D.C., man.
Wow, yeah, no, I feel it, man. I feel it. I get that all the time here. But seriously, what I would love to see them do, and this would really, really cement a rematch between Aries and Hardy, is have Aries, maybe not next week, but before the next pay-per-view, steal that belt and freaking destroy it. Run it up with a car, hit it with a sledgehammer, to where you get Jeff Hardy so enraged that would set up. Because to be honest, I wouldn't mind seeing a rematch between the two. They had a good match at Bound for Glory. It was a great match.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes, it's a very good match, very good match. And, I mean, they could sort of do like, I don't remember what angle it was, but I know it was Stone Cold and The Rock, and I think The Rock threw the belt off the bridge or vice versa. So you can do something like that, man. But, you know, just coming out tonight, man, it was just flat, the terror thing that didn't deliver. You know, I mean, you know, I did like the Matt Morgan thing. Now, I don't agree with you on that. I think that, you know, you can go behind the scenes to a extent. You know, WWE does it, CM Punk does it. You know, so it has been done. And I think they did it in a way to reintroduce Morgan and to tell him his fault and what you need to do to be the world champion. So, you know, they gave us a behind-the-scenes look, man, and I don't have no problem with that. I mean, they was doing the same thing with TNA Reaction when they had that show, so I don't have no problem with that. And I thought it helped Morgan get over, back reintroduced to the fans, and then Hogan at the end where he was scared, and then all of a sudden, that's the Matt Morgan I wanted to see with that smirk. So maybe they do something with Matt Morgan because he's not the most talented big man ever.
No, that's true. I agree with you. I think he's better as a heel. Most of your big guys are better as a heel. And, you know, it's just that, I don't know, maybe that was just a pet peeve with me. You know, I'm just that way, maybe because I'm a little bit, you know, more old school. But I like him. I like them teaming him with Joey Ryan. That's cool with me. I'm wondering if they're going to do something where, like, for a little bit, mm-hmm. He's Ryan's bodyguard and says, you know what? Mm-hmm. I saw how you were trying to fuck this kid over the way you screwed me over. So now I'm going to be mm-hmm. in his corner, and you can have this guy who on his own might not be that, you know, and don't get me wrong. I think he's good, but on his own, he could have been good. But with Morgan in there kind of being the bodyguard, it helps him win matches, helps get him
right.
Over. Yeah, and you keep Morgan around for a bit because, you know, here's the thing. Morgan, there was rumors he wanted to go back to WWE. We don't know exactly what happened, if the lawsuit had something to do with that, him not going there. But I like him better in TNA. I think it's just yeah. where it belongs right now. So I'm with you. I hope they do something with him.
Yeah, because WWE, they just made him like a complete idiot. So, I mean, TNA is the best spot for him. And, you know... You know, but I you know, I like that. Maybe they do him and Joey Ryan, so like Shawn Michaels and Diesel, Kevin Nash back in the day. One more thing, man. The AJ Styles and Kurt Angle thing, man. I think that's going to lead to a feud. But also, you know what I think going to happen at the end of the day? I think you're going to get Triple Threat back together. Kazarian and Daniels and AJ Styles will probably be some type of group together, man. It sort of like, look like they might be going that angle with that. You know, I just think, you know, those guys have been friends for a long time, and that may turn AJ Styles heel where those three guys get together and, you know, hold all the belts, I guess, at one time. I think that'd be very interesting to see because they do need a different type of heel group, even though Aces 8 is running muck. But like I say, we have no connection to them besides them running down people and beating people up. But maybe, you know, Styles going back heel with Daniels and Cass, that would be like a fresh start.
Yeah, I mean, let's hope, you know, that's what I want to see, a fresh start. You know, Bound for Glory's behind us. I don't want to see the same old shit I've been seeing for the last few weeks. Although before Bound for Glory, yeah, it was mostly good. I have to say, I've been doing a few of these shows now. You know, Trey Dog, obviously. Spoke to him this week, by the way, for anyone who wants an update. Trey's doing fine. He's doing his thing. He's real busy right now. He's taking care of some personal stuff. Got a new job coming up. But since I've, you know, done this show, there's maybe been one impact that I kind of was like, eh. All the rest were good. So I'm going to give them that temporary pass and say and hope that next week they turn it around.
But, you know, also they need a newer face, and that face could be a John Morrison. I mean, they just need something that will give them that shock factor, man. And I know maybe Batista wouldn't be that guy. I mean, Spike TV could throw in some coin, get a one-match payoff with Batista, man, or something, man. They need to do something, man. And with the Jeff Hardy thing last week, with the contract thing, they're going to re-sign him, man. I don't think he want to go back to WWE for that grind, you know, that long schedule. TNA was there for him when he went, you know, got in his trouble. They was there for his legal and everything else. Spike TV is not going to let this guy walk away because they need TNA for their MMA franchises, so he's not going to win, man. I mean, you know, Steam may not even re-sign when his contract is up at the end of the year or January, February, whenever that is. So they got plenty of money they can keep Hardy, man. So don't look for him to go nowhere. Hell, even if they got to bring Matt back, then, you know, but Jeff will be a TNA, man. So all those WWE rumors, man, it's not happening.
Well, I mean, I could see, you know, Crelly talked about seeing Batista. Now, I don't know. I wasn't able to ask Crelly because he was too busy getting off to go get drunk. You know, why was Morgan there? Was he watching the why was Batista there? Was he watching the show? You know, but man, I could just see it. If you could bring in Batista, man, him and Morgan. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
I mean, you can just do a one-off match, man. You can build it up, man. A one-off Spike TV special, man. Just, you know, beat the drum on that, man. I mean, if you got to give a team to 50 or 100 grand for that one-off match, man, I think it would be worth it in the profile that you would bring to TNA. You will upset Vince McMahon, number two, and you will, you know, be giving your fans another shot. You remember when Kurt Angle, that image of Kurt Angle showed up at that pay-per-view and he was coming to TNA, you brought that life into the company. And I think if you just did it for 1 month for a big payoff match with Batista, I think it would be worth it, man, because they just need a shock in the arm, man, a shot in the arm right now. And if one match, Batista, Hardy, Morgan, or whatever, however you can do it, I think that would, you know, put some juice in the TNA, and it would burn up some of the blogs and everything else that TNA finally made a big-time move.
Yeah, no, I agree. But anyway, man, thanks again, Terrence. Like I said, man, I appreciate you telling it like it is, man, you know, and again, you're the kind of TNA fan I like. I don't like us being labeled as guys who kiss their ass all the time. And you and I were a little disappointed tonight, and we told it like it is. So thank you, man. Always a pleasure.
All right, brother. Talk to you next week.
Take care, man. All right, guys. I was just about to say, I'm going to keep the phone lines open for a little bit longer. Boy, you guys love calling in at the last minute, don't you? You love stressing me out. You just love fucking with the Bronx Father. Ashley is his name. How are you, my friend?
Now I feel really confident. Thanks, Bronx.
It's all good, man. What's up?
There's a few feelings that I'm starting to get at the minute. A few months on from probably when I last called in here. And one is I'm just seeing a kind of natural decay of the Knockouts division.
Well, yeah, but I mean, shit. You could argue that that's been going on for the last year and a half, 2 years.
Yes, but it's the fact that as well, you had Madison Rayne, and now she's disappeared off the face of the earth in about 2 weeks. I guess that's what happens when you screw around with Earl Hebner, I don't know. But then also Gail Kim seems to have disappeared and not coming back. I'm just thinking if this is the cycle of get a knockout, sign her, put her with the title, have a loser title, get rid of her. Rinse and repeat.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I felt the same way when Kia Stevens left, you know, and she left coincidentally right after that whole crap went down with Bubba the Love Sponge and, you know, him making fun of, you know, the disaster in, oh God, where was it? Oh God, I just drew a blank.
Haiti,
yeah, when he made fun of, and which I thought was rather racist, kind of made fun of that. And I mean, he's just a complete dick. She left, you know, now I had heard Velvet Sky supposedly, hopefully, had re-signed, but she's nowhere in sight right now. So, yeah, no, I hear you. That division, which got very high ratings at one time, one of the highest rated segments on Impact was the Knockouts, you know, the Knockout segment. Now it's like, wow.
Yeah, it's really taken a downfall. It's, and the other thing is the whole Jesse thing. I mean, seriously, she could have brought out a skunk and it would be more interesting.
Probably smelled better too.
I wasn't going to go there.
I mean, it's just like this guy right now. I mean, okay, he's been here like 1 week, and his tonight, just him speaking, it's one of those things where like I can't afford a new computer monitor, or I would have destroyed this one. I haven't believed in this in the WWE either, unless it's at WrestleMania where they're performing. But bringing in these guys who don't have too much TV experience wrestling wise, to me, it's just a downer.
Yeah, I was, with respect to that, I was actually pleased there was minimal interference from King Mo at the pay per view.
Well, apparently, you know, basically James Storm and Bobby Roode said, "Look, you know, we want this to be minimal. We just want to go out there and tear the house down." He basically didn't do anything. I mean, I know Shark was all over his ass. If you listen to SNS, Mark the Shark DiCarlo is not a King Mo fan. And to me, I'm just indifferent. I don't have the MMA experience that Mark the Shark DiCarlo does. But he didn't really do much for me. He was just there. But the match totally made up for him. I mean, who really even knew he was there when you saw that brutal fucking match?
Yeah, he was. He did kind of become an afterthought as soon as the Crimson. You can't really call it a Crimson mask. If he had a shirt on, it would have been Crimson t-shirt, Crimson trousers, Crimson everything.
He had a Crimson body. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah. We probably. It'd be like the blood equivalent of the Human Torch. I don't know. But. Yeah. And speaking of Bound for Glory as well, this is one of my feelings now, is that it needs to get out of the impact zone more, because there were some points tonight when you could hear a pin drop in the crowd. As soon as that main event started between Sting and Devon, I just heard silence, and it was like the crowd was, yeah, we're really into this, sarcasm.
Well, I mean, what they need to do is, and I know Trey mentioned this several times before, and I don't know what their pay-per-view deal is or how much longer it's going. Give us 6 pay-per-views a year, make every one of them out of the impact zone, and, you know, on those off months, man, give us a 3-hour special. Give us something like the old Night of Champions or, you know, Saturday night's main event. Give us something that is, you know, free and special. And at the end of the day, cutting down from 12 pay-per-views to 6 and having all 6 on the road. Now, I know the cost of going on the road is a lot more probably than having 12 pay-per-views and maybe 2 or 3 of them on the road, but I just think that they don't need it. They need to focus more on the weekly show. They're a company that I think actually should downplay pay-per-views because unfortunately, they're not making much money off of them anyway, and really upplay your weekly show and get those ratings, get recognized.
Yeah, certainly. It's a case where, I mean, when we had the Impact, even if it wasn't live, just even if it was pre-taped like the UK one will be in January, you're going to get much more of a kind of atmosphere from the crowd than you're probably ever going to get from the Impact Zone.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like I said, you know, I'll see. I mean, right now, I wasn't that impressed with Raw. I wasn't that impressed with Impact tonight. And you know what? I'm not the only one, bro, because the ratings on both shows are proving it. Wrestling as a whole is kind of in a downturn now, and it's been this way in the past, but I think that right now it's really, really at a low point, and both companies need to do something to pique our interests, and I hope it turns around. But Ashley, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
No problem, bro. Speak to you soon. Speak to you again.
All right, take care, man. Before we close up for the night, I've been pimping it out all week that we do have an email address, tnachatlive@snsradionetwork.com. And congratulations to my first emailer, Philip Rosengarten. I've seen him on the SNS Facebook page. And he says this, Bronx, how long do you think TNA will continue with the Aces and Eights storyline, and also your thoughts on TNA bringing that horrible Hardy title back. Thanks, and keep up the great work. Philip, thank you so much for the email, my friend. I think I've already answered the new belt question. We've been talking about that all night. But you bring up another good question. How long will they continue with the Aces and Eights storyline? Well, I think the answer to that is as long as they feel that they can get something out of it. I think that at some point there's going to have to be a culmination. There's going to have to be that big reveal that unfortunately we did not get at Bound for Glory. We have one member, you know, pegged now. We know D-Von's one guy. But, you know, I think the leader is what's going to keep it around. This leader with that, you know, real evil, scary looking mask coming out every week, talking shit. At some point, they will be able to cash that in as a big reveal. My fear is that they're going to drag it on just too long. I think it's already dragged on a little bit too long. I'm hoping in the next month or two, they really do something with Aces and Eights to put it over the top. But for right now, I mean, it ended abruptly tonight. It ended with, you know, the TNA guys running in, attacking Aces and Eights, and Bully Ray attacking them, and just, that's it. The show was over. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But thank you so much for the email, man. Thanks to everyone who called in. Thanks to everyone who's listening live. Hell, thanks to everyone who downloads the archive. Make sure you check out all the other shows on the SNS Radio Network. Tomorrow night, the open book will be back, 11 p.m. Eastern. Of course, all the podcasts on the network, the whole indie show, Beyond the Bell, the Elite Force podcast, so many to mention. And a rumor of a new show that will be debuting soon on the SNS Radio Network. That's all I have. It's a mystery. It's a secret. As far as our live shows, make sure you tune in to Wrestling News Live this Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. JJ with a very important interview from a prominent THQ member. It's on the Facebook page. JJ has started the thread. Now, if you have any questions about WWE 13, I strongly suggest you go there and ask them. There are already literally, I mean, damn it. It's blowing up. It's blowing up. On Facebook, guys, you need to give your questions to JJ. WWE 13 coming out, I believe, October 30th. JJ stoked. I know for a fact JJ stoked. We got a lot of listeners that are stoked about WWE 13. Check out Wrestling News Live. And, of course, I'll be back next Thursday, same time, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, for TNA Chat Live. God, let's hope they can get it right. Now, before we close our show in the normal way, today I read something about the Hulk Hogan sex scandal that was just brilliant. Brilliant. Basically, it's the 9 strangest things about this whole deal. And yes, the Bronx Father, being the TNA journalist he is, I can't believe I just said I'm a journalist, being the SNS Radio Network home run hitter he is desperately trying to be, trying to go from being the, you know, temporary third leg of the tripod, the interim third leg of the tripod, to the permanent third leg. I'm going to bring this to you in a moment. But, again, Terrence, Ashley, Crelly, everyone who called tonight, JJ, of course, the boss, thank you so much. I'll see you next week. TNA Chat Live on the SNS Radio Network. Hey, everybody. This is the Bronx Father here from SNS Radio Network. And with many, many, many thanks from the DailyBeast.com, I proudly present to you
the 9 craziest things about Hulk Hogan's sex tape scandal.
Number 1.
The woman is his best friend's then-wife, and that friend's name is Bubba the Love Sponge. The woman doing the horizontal wrestle with the 6-time World Heavyweight Champion is Heather Klemm, who was then married to Hulk Hogan's then-best friend, Todd Adam Klemm. Mr. Klemm is better known to the world as Bubba the Love Sponge, a radio host with his own show on Cox Radio and online at Radio.io. And yes, he has legally changed his name to that moniker. Hogan says Love Sponge gave him permission to have sex with his wife 6 years ago when Hogan was still married to then-spouse Linda. Love Sponge even makes a cameo on the sex tape. He's heard off-camera giving his blessing to the deed about to commence. You guys do your thing. I'll be in the office if you need me.
Number 2.
But they are not friends anymore. Love Sponge called Hogan a hypocritical fraud, user, and piece of crap after the wrestler filed the lawsuits and claimed he had no idea he was being taped. There were 3 people in that room, Love Sponge said. All 3 knew what time it was. They knew what was going on. Fascinatingly, the tape might not have been filmed using a traditional camcorder, but, according to Love Sponge's tirade, a surveillance camera that was mounted in his bedroom on the advice of attorneys amid a child custody issue. You know I have surveillance, he said, addressing Hogan. You knew of everything going on.
Number 3.
Bubba the Love Sponge was auto parts shopping in the next room while Hogan was getting intimate with his wife. What does a man do when his wife is in the next room getting freaky with his best friend? If Love Sponge's memory serves him right, he was surfing the internet for car parts. A muffler, maybe? Love Sponge also told Howard Stern that he doesn't have some sort of cock-holding fetish. He claims not to have watched the tape, and though he knew what was happening on the other side of the wall, he was not getting off at all. He also never spoke to his ex-wife about how Hogan performed in bed, he says.
Number 4.
Bubba the Love Sponge also offered his wife to Howard Stern. Bubba used to say to me, there are 2 guys in the world I'd let fuck my wife. Hulk Hogan and you, Howard, Stern told Hogan when the newly minted porn star called into his radio show. And he offered me Heather. Stern apparently told Love Sponge that he'd love to, but it never went down.
Number 5.
Hogan mentions his son during the tryst repeatedly. In the tape, as he stands bare-bottomed before joining Mrs. Love Sponge on the bed, Hogan's phone rings. Let me see if that's Nick. Hold on, he says, potentially putting a damper on the mood. Hogan also interrupts a post-colloidal cuddle, saying he has plans to go meet with Nick, as fathers typically do after a session of swinging. An anecdote about how his son's new girlfriend has a twin sister follows.
Number 6.
Hogan's ringtone is his daughter Brooke's song, About Us. Okay, that's kind of cute.
Number 7.
Hogan felt fat. Hogan's first words after getting out of bed, a disgusted, fuck, I just ate 2. I feel like a pig. Swoon. Apparently he ate too much sashimi. I gotta put my Bubba shirt back on. In this case, Bubba is Hogan's nickname. He's not referring to Clem's husband, Love Sponge. And he doesn't stop harping on it either. Can't believe I just ate like a pig 10 minutes ago, he complained, shaking his head. I felt like I just got off a fucking roller coaster. I'm out of breath. Though his shirt is, indeed, back on through the entire exchange, he remains pantless, proudly peacocking his Speedo tan.
Number 8.
Hogan's ex-wife watched the tape. Quote, who wouldn't want to watch it? Linda Hogan told Inside Edition, apparently unaware that the answer to her question is almost everyone ever. She also said her children were upset about the whole scandal. Brooke was a little bit angry and very disappointed, she said. Nick, on the other hand, was just saddened. He was embarrassed. Really?
Number 9.
And last but not least, there may be more tapes. A Pandora's box of ickiness may just have been opened. Sources tell Philadelphia's Daily News that multiple videos of Hogan and Clem doing the deed are floating around, as well as Clem with other B and C list celebrities. That's not all. In one of the videos, Hogan reportedly goes on a racist rant that includes N-bombs. So there you have it, brother. Hope you enjoyed it. I know I did.